In a world that continues to grow with the immunities and perseverance of our youth, the contagion continues to limit progress. We exist in a moment in history of great importance, the beginning of an era, with a long road ahead of this world in for civic order. Changes unfathomable. Changes as monumental as the Cultural Revolution of the 60s. As grandiose as the Roaring Twenties, or the modernization following World War II. This is the year we've all been forced to say goodbye to yesterday. Though our young American soldiers have not been sent to a jungle in a country they'd never heard of, yet. Though Hitler and Stalin have long passed, we have Trump and Xi Jinping, unraveling the norms of the institutions that govern us. Big business and technology rule the postmodern era. People forced into their homes, some working from laptops, some given stipends to help exist. Stock markets are now a common trading tool to financially get by, or maybe meet your demise. Will the next couple of years be the continuation of limiting interaction and strengthening individual protection from others potentially contagious? Will technology leave the unemployed without jobs to return to? Will robotic innovation capable of assembling and computer processing alienate the purpose of humans? Will the virus cause us to shelter from one another? Is it now impossible to coexist on the level we once did? The vaccine is far from giving you an immunity. Militias now try to govern the streets. The police are on a rampage against peaceful demonstrations. But cartels go unchecked. No city building is open. The doors of our institutions close to the public. When you're unemployed, you can't get a check. When you're without food, the offices are closed to assist you. Banks are foreclosing homes, and families now join the addicts on the streets at midnight. But sometimes there's a curfew in town, and you gotta be stealth throughout the night to not get arrested. What is America anymore? The United States. There's nothing united about this country. It's everyone for themselves. Survival of the fittest. And I guess that's what our Constitution protects. But damn, I think this decade we'll have to ask ourselves if our institutions are worth protecting, because they surely don't help me. Only hollow columns, empty halls of justice, and no reckoning for the faults of the elected. It's time to set the night on fire. When you cried out, "No justice, no peace," did you mean it? Did the movement stop once the payouts were made? Did the revolutionaries die in vain? When Morrison and Hendricks, Huxley and Kerouac passed, they believed you would open the doors of your perception and see the guiding light, to be present in the here and now, and turn on, tune in, and drop out, my friends.
All right, and we are back, and this is the moment many of you, all of us, we've all been waiting
for years and years.
The 2020 presidential election has arrived. Mm-hmm. This is the aftermath coverage of it.
Just
you know,
days
the
away.
Aftermath, we kind of made our bones a long time ago in a past life talking about the 2008 presidential primary, the Democratic primary in particular. Between Senator Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And I think we presaged a lot of things back then, Ed, when we asked the immortal question, America, are you sexist or are you racist?
I remember those days.
In 12 years. Yeah, you remember that. And 12 years later, we now know definitively the answer is both. We thought we were merely sexist. No, we are, in fact, both racist and sexist. That's kind of indisputable at this point. But hey, you know, there's always room for growth. That's the America that I know is can always change and become a better version of itself.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. And, you know, this election coming up, we have the incumbent President Donald J. Trump versus former Vice President Joe Biden.
Yeah, it seems like Trump's campaign's just been going on for 4 years, but I don't know if he's the one 100% responsible for that. It's like almost, you know, a lot of the liberal media have kind of fed into his campaigning in some ways. It's kind of this sick circle, just how he's fed all these false narratives to the public, and a lot of the media has just ran with it, and how they've reported it has kind of really just kind of like separated this country in some ways. But I mean, it's his doing with putting this stuff out there. In some ways, I feel like we should have just ignored Trump and a lot of his verbiage that he's used. We've kind of put him up on this pedestal that he doesn't deserve, but I guess that's what happens when you elect somebody like him.
Absolutely. You know, we have a reality TV show star.
Should have been Ozzy.
He's been a larger-than-life figure propped up by mass media, you know, for decades now. You know, he was a celebrity in the 80s and the 90s and ever since he kind of got his come up and became like, you know, the celebrity rich guy. That's what he was. He was a larger than life figure and propped up. And, you know, this we've seen, I think, over the last 4 years is the final act of turning American politics, which had already become political theater after a while. You know, we've moved from politics being like an actual thing in this country just to political theater. And at this point, it's just theater now. That's all it really is. Mm-hmm. Like, he is just the president as of today is just another reality TV show star. That's what the presidency is at this point. It's just a reality TV show where they trot this guy out there. He says some dumb shit and everyone loses their mind over for 24 hours. So the next day where he says something other stupid, and then the cycle repeats itself. There is no more. We're living in a 24/7 breaking news cycle right now. Mm-hmm. There is no news is always breaking, even if it's not really news.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of terrifies me if who will get vaccinated first if Trump's presidency continues. Like, do you think he's really gonna care about people at the bottom and how he like distributes the vaccination, or is it gonna be first his Hollywood, you know, cronies that get vaccinated first, and then, you know, all the producers for his reality TV show The Apprentice? Do you think they're gonna get vaccinated first? And then maybe government, and then Beyonce and Jay-Z, and then who's next after that? I feel like Trump's just the whole vaccination process isn't going to be very fair.
Well, in a country of 300 million, the vaccination rollout's always going to be a long process. You know, it doesn't even matter. Trump's not going to dictate who gets the vaccine. It's going to be AstraZeneca. It's going to be all the pharma companies. It's going to be whoever your insurer is going to determine when and where you get the vaccine. I don't know how much Trump, I mean, I'm sure Trump will be at the front of the line if he's president. I'm sure he'll be at the front of the line even if he isn't president, because at the end of the day, he is still presumably a rich man. You know, I don't know. His tax returns definitely tell us that he is a rich man since he pays so little in taxes.
Do you think you'll get, like, the most of Americans will get their vaccination from, like, Walmart? So is Walmart, like,
a good
stock option right now? Because, like, everybody's going to be stuck in Walmart in lines just waiting to get vaccinated. Really, I don't think there's much of a conversation about the vaccine because I don't believe it's going to happen anytime soon. I think it's going to be, this is going to be like an AIDS type thing.
Why? You think it's going to be that? You think it's going to be that kind of thing? You think it's, what, you think it's incurable? I mean, people have antibodies and stuff to it. It's still possible, I guess, to catch it.
You can catch a slight mutation in it. We can cure it and we can build antibodies and we can develop immunities and stuff ourselves. Completely eradicate it is not going to happen. I mean, the flu is not eradicated, but like measles, is measles pretty much gone?
Yeah, it's more or less, it's functionally gone. You know, I feel like everyone, but you know, we all get a battery. Most of us get a battery of vaccinations when we're young. My daughter, Luna Dacquery, she's getting her vaccine. She's getting hepatitis vaccines. And, you know, a lot of these, granted, there's a large segment of the population that don't believe in vaccines. They aren't going to get it regardless, you know, and. So, I mean, yeah, so, you know, those people are a different problem in the country where, you know, smallpox and stuff, people can catch it because they're not getting vaccinated for it anymore.
Yep.
Despite that, it is generally like this part of the battery you get when you're a baby. You go and you're every 3 months, you get a rubella vaccination, you know, and it's, you just do that and that builds up your immune system and it leads you to be a healthy person. You're not worried that you're going to catch the bubonic plague.
Mm-hmm. But how many years does it take to get that vaccine? Like, I feel like everybody, like this whole November before the election, that's nonsense. Before the end of the year is nonsense. I think before the end of 2021, it's nonsense. Like, I don't know if these smallpox vaccines, how many years it really took to make it, but I would assume it was like 7 or so, or like 70, but not like in a couple months. I don't think there's ever been a vaccine that's been developed in a couple months.
Yeah, well, the smallpox vaccine would have been like derived at a time when doing that is going to take that kind of long. Are you saying that in this world, with the kind of technology that we have in 2020, we can't rush forward something like this? You don't think that there, even if the United States is a mess, you don't think there are other countries that are working on making a vaccine that want to get this done as quickly as possible? It's about resources and about focus. And I think that with the kind of impact that the COVID pandemic has had on the world at large, is enough to like, this is like a top priority for like every medical company in the world right now.
Mm-hmm. But can nature have some complexities that like are just out of our reach? Like, I mean, we can't cure cancer yet. We can fight it. And we have cured a lot of cancers, but it's not something that's definitive necessarily. And that's been researched in the modern era for a long, long time. Like, they're just sometimes there is an unknown in nature that some things can just be so complex that maybe it takes the whole world, you know, working together to solve it. We didn't reach outer space just like within a year or two. It took a lot of different things to figure out first to get us to the moon or something. I mean, took a lot of countries working together to put all those technologies together. I mean, coronavirus is, you know, there's other types of coronaviruses and it's a well-studied thing, but I don't know if they know the origins of it yet completely, or if that's still not set in stone. And I feel like that's what this election is a lot of about that the public hasn't been told about, because like our whole country has been on pause. We haven't determined yet and came out exactly the source of the coronavirus because of the fear of people maybe not understanding where the virus could have came from. I mean, it could have came from a lab. So if Trump before the election just came out and said the Chinese government created this virus, it leaked, they were able to put it down and killed 200,000 Americans. If it came out like that, how would America react?
I think we've seen how America reacts. You know, a certain segment will say that's true. A large segment will say that's bullshit. It came from a bat. That's what all of our top scientists have said, that it came from wet markets in China.
It was the Chinese scientists that said that, like, weeks after.
And it's corroborated, because I feel like that's, like, the prevailing, like, accepted thing. We're going back to our June edition, in which I said that the Chinese lab argument seems a little far-fetched, seems like a conspiracy theory, but you would say that it is, that it's more likely that it was made in a lab.
I'm just saying that the truth of where the virus came from, I don't think has been released before the election, and it's been held up waiting for the election because it could turn into something like, whoever wins the election is going to have to make that decision of how to handle the death of 300,000 Americans. One of these presidents could turn that into a global conflict to maybe for economic recovery reasons, or maybe because of a real belief that this virus was staged into the world to have some type of outcome, or like a political outcome. This virus has completely changed global politics and global economies and social norms and everything around the world. So if somebody did stage this, even if it's a collaboration of governments or a collaboration of some type of organization within like research firms or something, I mean, they've completely taken the world by its balls. Or it's just nature that has completely destroyed the ways of the world. If it wasn't nature, and after the election it came out that it wasn't just circumstance of bats in a filthy place, then that information would be held until after the election, and then that president would make decisions on how to handle. I mean, the World Health Organization and Trump really don't get along. Maybe if Biden gets elected, maybe they could pull the CDC and the World Health Organization back together. But Trump doesn't want to fund the World Health Organization anymore. A lot of governments are trying to seize as much power as they can during this pandemic. And I feel like that's what we've seen, is just like every country become a dictatorship out of this catastrophe. And, you know, some countries like support their dictator and whatever government is running it. And some countries, you know, aren't supporting it. I mean, I feel like the EU is happy to shut down and close their doors. It seems like here in America, where people are out in the streets, like just sick of being told to be locked in their houses. And the statistics on coronavirus, like the truths for it, just are really difficult to pick and choose which ones. You know, they were saying that only 47, the Delta CEO was saying only 47 cases of coronaviruses have been tied back to air travel. And I think that's complete bullshit. Like, they're just selling that statistic to try to bring back air travel, when really it might be more like 47 million cases or something that could be traced back to airline travel. I feel like coronavirus is, it's still out there. You know, in some states they have like 10% or 15% of the people that they test have it. But that's, you know, only people that are going to the doctors that are sick. So 10% of the people that are sick have coronavirus, say in Texas. which is a super high percentage. So that means, you know, on a street of 30 people, you're going to at least have one person with coronavirus, even if they're having side effects or if they're not.
Yeah, I don't know if I can follow you down that rabbit hole all the way, Ed. I'm probably going to stick with Occam's razor, and I'll probably veer towards your second option of the coronavirus likely just rising out of nature. You know, it was just man and nature. Sometimes they encroach in the wrong way. I mean, the COVID is a SARS virus. We saw the same thing a couple years ago. Up in Canada, the avian bird flu, when that was a big deal and that was going to end the world. But hey, they caught it. They got it shut down. And a year later, they had a vaccine for it. Yeah, but I think that does highlight a good instance of what we're dealing with as a sign of the times of, despite the fact that we have the most powerful communications tool and information distribution platform in the history of humanity, the internet, ways to access it and use it, that your phone in your pocket is probably, you know, more powerful, technologically speaking, computing speaking, than anything the people that landed on the moon had. I'm sure your phone can do more in a computer like setting than anything, any instrument aboard the spacecraft that took men to the moon. And despite that, that's only made things harder to know. Like, information has only ballooned at an absurdly exponential pace to where you don't know what to believe anymore. You don't know if it's true or not true. It's the shifting nature of truth. That's the platform that has given rise to the Trump presidency. We can look at the way that humanity, the entire world, all civilizations have been at this point shaped and changed in a radical way over the last 100 years because of telecommunication, because of televisual mediums. If we look back at the first true turning point in American politics and elections, you have the Kennedy-Nixon debates. It was like the first debate aired live on TV. And in a lot of ways, a lot of people believe it did shape how that election turned out. John F. Kennedy was a good-looking young man, greatly, greatly telegenic, looked great on camera, talked well, everything he'd want. And Richard Nixon, he came in that day, he was all sweaty, wasn't feeling good, looked like shit. And that hurt his chances for election. Jack Kennedy won. I don't need to go any more about the demographics of that. So that's one way in which our telecommunications system have changed elections. I think going from that all the way to Ronald Reagan, his presidency, if we're going to talk about Donald Trump is a reality TV star, well, look at Ronald Reagan. He was an old movie star. He wasn't a very good movie star. What were his best movies? The Newt Rockne story, Remember the Gipper, that's probably what he's most famous for, that and acting with a monkey, Bedtime for Bonzo or something. So, I mean, you go from that to where what Ronald Reagan stood for, it didn't matter. He was a good-looking guy. He looked presidential. At that point in his life, you cast him as the president in some schlocky movie, you'd believe it, because he looked like the president. He could talk like a president. And they could just wheel him out there. He goes and says whatever slowly creeping in senile old man can say that, you know, sounds patriotic and sounds good. And his writers and the guys in the back room want him to say, and whatever IBM and G&E and all of the great corporate magnates, whatever they want to happen, he can get out there and sell the public on it. He was a salesman. To the point now where at this point, you have the president, he's going to be best known for his term for what he did sitting around the White House with his phone tweeting out bullshit on Twitter. Maybe Twitter will be known, but that's going to be in the history books. That's what the history of the United States is going to reflect, is the president from 2016 to 2020 is best known for 140 characters at a time. Nonsense.
Yeah. And actually, I kind of think that separates Donald Trump from Reagan, because I could never see Reagan tweeting anything if he was president, because Reagan seems like it was like all, you know, Bush was coordinating everything in the background. Reagan was verbatim kind of reading a script. Trump is kind of off the script. Some ways, Biden and Trump kind of remind me of Reagan because they're both just super old men. Like, why'd we pick such old guys to be on the ticket? And, you know, I might have to still vote for Kanye. I mean, he's on the ballot in Kentucky. You know, maybe Kanye still has a chance. I mean, that fly on Mike Pence's head during the debates, do you think that's really going to screw up Trump's campaign? Or do you think it will help it?
It might. You know, that kind of thing does play in. All I could think of when I saw that is, you know, that scene in Indiana Jones, the first one, Raiders of the Lost Ark, where at the end scene, one of the Nazis is telling Indiana Jones, like, hey, you can fight us, but you know you want to find this ark as much as we do. And there's a great scene. It completely just happened that way, where he's talking and a fly like lands on his face, crawls into his mouth. It cuts to the scene. He never sees the fly again. So you just, it's an incredible moment in cinema that just happened. And it made that scene that much more iconic. It made the movie that much better in that little way. The point I was getting with Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan is that's just the evolution. I'm not really comparing. Reagan now looks like great. It's incredible how bad the Donald Trump presidency is, to where you look at George W. Bush and you're like, wow, what a president, that guy. I could have believed in that guy, not this idiot. Like, can you imagine going back to 2008 us and say, oh man, you're gonna wish you had Bush around in about 10 years, which is just its own little nightmare. Yep. I think the thing with Biden at this point is, yes, I would agree with that. It is concerning that America's best idea is just to go to a nursing home and find the oldest, whitest guy there and put him up to be the leader. At this point, a vote for Biden, I mean, there might be some Biden true believers out there. I don't know who they are. Maybe it's Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec. I know she was a big Joe Biden fan. But a vote for Biden is largely a vote for decorum at this mm-hmm. point. It's to be less embarrassing as a country. You just don't want to like look at yourself. And I know that there's a big selection of people that don't give a shit. They love Trump. They love everything he says. I have no idea what Trump accomplished in the last 4 years. I couldn't tell you one damn major political thing that he did. I don't know what the Trump doctrine is. What are you going to write about when you look at the history books and you read the Trump doctrine? Did he tweet? Is that a tweet that I missed? Was that a tweet in the last 20,000 tweets over the last 4 years that I missed of that in 140 characters laid out what the Trump doctrine is? Hopefully someone can help me with that out there.
Well, if he has another four years, it's going to be scary. What, you know, if he gets the Supreme Court justice, you know, maybe that doctrine really is going to be laid out in these next 4 years. I think he's always been shooting for this 8-year presidency. It could get ugly the last 4 years. Like, that's what I was saying about global conflict with China and stuff. We have kind of two options where it's like a recovery for America with Biden may be a more just, more isolated recovery for our nation, and maybe takes a little longer to rebuild our institutions, but ultimately has a better outcome maybe in the long term. But Trump's version of recovery could all be a 4-year just run up on. He's like, you know, I'm sorry all these people died, but we'll make it better by just trying to really run up the economy and make people rich and try to make people forget about the coronavirus by just using money. A lot of people have made a lot of money in the stock market over this summer off this pandemic. And I think a Trump presidency in the next 4 years could just be like continuing the economy, just making money off of the pandemic. Corporate America is beginning to spin this around in like how they advertise and stuff to start profiting off the coronavirus's existence. And like Trump maybe just will just play into that. you know, Biden might try to, you know, take the presidency and then, you know, next spring and in the winter, you know, maybe he wants to really eradicate the virus. And the only way to do that, he might say we have to turn off the economy and go back to quarantine. And I feel like if we would have just stayed quarantined for like 2-3 more weeks at the beginning of this, we could have almost eradicated the virus entirely just through a method instead of a virus, instead of a vaccine. And I think Biden might take that approach. But when if Trump's elected, he's going to take the approach of like the herd immunity. It's like, the numbers in the next couple years are going to go up to 400,000, 500,000. Maybe we'll get to 1 million, but a lot of people are just going to get filthy rich off of it somehow. Trump's going to try to outweigh, just be like, you know, people are getting rich, people are dying, but that's just the survival of the fittest. If you vote for Biden, you know, maybe we'll have, you know, an actual like system to try to break this down and stop the virus from spreading and becoming a norm. Where the virus is now, we could potentially stop it. But if we go another year or two and there's no vaccine, it's just going to become this normal thing that until the whole world has built up its antibodies, people are just going to continue to die.
More election coverage after this.
Now you don't seem so proud about having to be strapped.
All right, and we are back. Now, Ed, I know that a lot has changed over the last, the last year. One thing that I have liked relating to the election, I voted yesterday up here in Kenton County. I went and I voted. I stood in line for about 5 minutes. I went up to the government building in Covington, in and out. I'd just had some free time and ran up there. And I got to tell you, this is how elections should be. I am done with whatever. Election day can be like the last day, but I want all elections to be like this. I want to be able just to like go in a couple weeks before on my free time instead of having to work around on that particular day and do it that day. I don't understand. If this doesn't continue, then that's a terrible move. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're going to get really good voter turnout. This would be a really good thing for democracy in general. However, it turns out, insofar as you're going to get more people involved, if you're not limiting them to one day or some convoluted process to do an absentee or mail-in. I like mail-in. That's fine. I think the way that that's been promoted, made available to people, but I don't see why moving forward, it has to be hard and fast. November 3rd is the only day you can go and vote. It should just be an open thing from middle of October to November. I think that is a home run right there and needs to be implemented going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a great thing. I'm a little nervous about how the ballots are going to be counted and how long it's going to take. You know, if Trump has a couple months in office when the election's still not determined, I feel like there's going to be a lot of civil unrest in some ways. I might be out there, you know, if it goes all the way to, say, Christmas.
Inauguration Day.
Yeah, until inauguration, and we still don't know for sure. Because Trump is notorious for like all these like clauses, like for like executive order and shit. Like he's like just almost like known for like having some sidekick or something that he's like, hey, just find some clause in these giant books of law on the American Constitution and find me the one that just gives me all the power and we can like kind of fumble some words and change some words around. And kind of worried that he's going to be, you know, come up with some clause or something right at the end and be like, well, we still haven't determined on Inauguration Day the exact count. So I'm going to prolong this for another couple weeks. And then weeks become, you know, then all of a sudden there's a spike in coronavirus and we have to go back to quarantining. And then it's like some other tipping point happens simultaneously with all that, and then all of a sudden maybe we could be in this like huge upheaval by February.
So are you talking coup right now? Are you worried about him not like refusing to concede? Are you worried about that? I'm not worried about that, because I don't know how popular Trump is amongst the top leaders of the military. That's what it's come down to. If he's voted out, is it going to be the thing where they refuse
but
to
I'm
remove
saying,
him?
I'm saying there is no determination on the voting out. I'm not saying like, I'm saying that's his clause where he's like, all the mail-in ballots are still locked up. Like we still don't have Oklahoma's mail-in ballots yet because people didn't open it because there was a spike in Corona in Oklahoma City. So we haven't opened 30,000 votes. And in Nebraska, we also have a county that hasn't, and it's like December 31st, there's still a couple states that don't have their final counts. And because of the mail-in ballots or like some judge holding up, I could see like some judge just coming out being like, I'm going to hold these votes until farther notice or something.
Well, that would be a complete total shutdown of government then, because it's not just Trump that's up for election. It's all the other congressional seats are up too. You can't count those either. So that's a complete, you're talking about the complete shutdown of government across the United States then. At that point, then it just comes down to he has to be able to enforce things. But if he can't enforce it, if no one knows who's actually in office anymore.
And I just, from November 5th to when is Inauguration Day? January 10th?
Something like that. It's January or February. It's one of the somewhere and in there. It's one of those cold, wintry days in Washington.
But there's not like a ton of time in between there, I don't think. Like, I feel like there could just be something. Like, how long did, but I mean, this has happened in America before, right? Or how long did it take the Bush and Gore vote to be completely finalized? Was that before Inauguration Day?
Yeah, it was done before that.
Yeah.
Trust me, this kind of stuff gets pushed through very much. It's not like he is all powerful. There are people that don't like him that work with him, mm-hmm. and they just do it because it's beneficial to them. If he like loses, if the early polls come in, because you're saying is that like, yes, there's going to be 30,000 votes here, there. If it ends up being an insane landslide, which I'm not saying that's going to be like that. There's a lot to say that it won't be that. But if it does looking that way, like he can hold up as long as he wants. That process is going to get moved along.
Yeah, but I really think the chance for a landslide Biden is like, for me, I think that's out of question. Like there's like a 1 or 2% chance of landslide Biden. Like, I feel like it's going to be like a 49-51 type thing. I mean, Clinton Trump was pretty close, and it's going to be,
that was a different time though. That was a lot different time. And I feel like Clinton was a lot more unlikable and controversial than Biden is. Biden's like was obviously the safest possible choice they could have ever made. That's unknown, which I wasn't happiest with it. That goes without saying, you know, I mean, he's fine. You know, the Democratic Party right now, let's just be real. This is just a consolation prize for at least me. I don't know. I'm clearly some kind of crazy leftist on here of the show. But, you know, this is a consolation prize because the Democratic Party is not, as it stands today, as it exists today, isn't going to really do much to change us from the unfortunate end we're heading towards. We are flying towards at a breakneck speed, which is just the collapse of the world, of the environment, of the actual locations in the world caused by climate change. The Democrats don't really have a plan to do this. There's ideas, but you know they're not going to be the one. The main party leadership aren't going to be the ones that are going to be really pushing to help make the world in an environmental sense better. These are the same people that have absolutely crushed the working class and the labor movement in the United States. They're the ones that bent over backwards to the neocons. That's why we get neoliberals and neoconservatives, because they both have the same idea. Hey, let's just give businesses control everything. Let's give corporations all the power. It'll make our jobs easier. We just get elected. We come in here. We talk to CNN and C-SPAN, and it looks like we're doing something. And at the end of the day, it's Microsoft and Amazon that are going to actually run everything mm-hmm. and make all the decisions.
Yeah, and when there's a sell-off of Apple stock and stuff or Amazon stock, like the whole market fluctuates, and it's kind of just wild how corporate America really does have so much control over our lives and money. But I feel like when whatever the outcome is, people aren't going to go back to work the same way as they did before the virus. And I feel like there is going to be a lot more like personal investors. People are going to kind of be forced in the next 10 years to just be their own investors of their wealth and put their money into these corporations that rule our country and hope that these corporations fund through the stock exchange, you know, fund your lifestyle. Like, I feel like people's jobs here in the next couple years are going to be like almost a play-by-play. Like, people are going to be putting out their own methods and stuff of how to make money off the stock market. And it's going to be like how to make $100 a day off Walmart stock with $7,000. And it's like, if you have the initial capital, say you have say you have $10,000, $15,000, there's probably methods out there of how to sufficiently live and make $150 a day off the stock market off $15,000 initial capital. And I think as technology grows and people are out of work and there is more automated like robotics and stuff, you know, there's going to be these factories that can assemble a car basically probably with just like one or two employees pressing a few buttons and the car gets shipped down the line. Back 50 years ago, it would take 100 men on assembly line to the manufacture a car. There may be a future in America where people, instead of working on the assembly line, you just invest all your money into that company. Like, instead of working at Ford's plant, you are just invested in Ford and you manage your money by buying and selling Ford stock at home, and that's your new career.
More political talk after this.
Follow my footsteps across. As I go walking that freedom highway, nobody living can ever make me turn back around. This land was made for you and me.
And we are back. You know, Ed, that last point you were making about, you know, what the future of work is going to look like, I think that really appeals to me. You know, I would like it if, you know, most automated operations were working in that way. Now, I know that is going to cause a lot of issues. You know, I think a phrase that I've really enjoyed being thrown around as a future form of government is one that's called fully automated luxury communism.
Mm-hmm. I think that would fit well for like our underwater civilization,
right? You know, just machines and do all the work. All the main tasks of production are fully automated, and you know, everything comes out perfect. Really, all it comes down to is just maintaining the machines that produce everything. That's like kind of what we all, in some ways, want. We want to be able to pursue our passions and do the things that we enjoy doing.
The great thing about that is the machines are made by machines, and then those machines are made by other machines. So, you know.
That's right.
Every machine is just made by another machine in that type of society. But you got your engineers, you got your designers, you got your architects still.
And then you guys, I guess that leads into a whole other host of things. You know, there's a video game that I really enjoy playing. It's called Civilization. It's a series that's been out for a really long time. Civ 6 is the current iteration that's out there right now. And, you know, you reach a certain point of the game because they can go for a very long time. You know, you start out as like a little village and you grow into a massive civilization as you go throughout over centuries and millennia. You know, at the base vanilla game, it ends with three possible forms of government, ones that we are all familiar with. You can be a democracy, you can be a communism, you can have a fascism. But then, you know, there's an expansion pack, which, you know, takes you even further along in time to make games even more nuanced and advanced. There's three other that they posit. Those three are synthetic technocracy, digital democracy, and corporate libertarianism that are each, I guess, a separate out branching of the previous three. You don't necessarily have to go one to the other. What do you make of these kind of things? What do you think? What are ways that we can conceive of that we can break away from the political orders that we're used to?
I feel like we live, in a sense, in corporate libertarianism, kind of in the Trump era right now. Maybe that would change if Biden's elected and get some regulation back on businesses. But I mean, you know, Trump's like for clean coal, which eventually will just completely take all the hills and mountains out of Kentucky. So I think we've already lived in corporate libertarianism kind of the last 4 years, and we might have to deal with it for another 4 years. The other ones, I don't know if we've got there yet. There might be kind of this last summer with
Digital democracy.
A digital democracy. I feel like digital democracy has kind of emerged somewhat this summer with the stimulus package and a lot of people putting their money into the stock market. I feel like that could help emerge a digital democracy. I think if we started voting online, like for everything, we would get a huge turnout. But it's like, do you really trust the government's databases? I mean, we've seen with like how unemployment or something works. A lot of people don't receive the benefits. And there's a lot of cyber hacks and crashes and stuff that, you know, maybe the old school just voting in a ballot and putting it in a bowl or something is the fairest way to do it. But I think eventually the firewalls and virus protection and networking and stuff could bring us to just voting on just about everything. You log on to your district's website and, you know, maybe weekly start having little votes about your school district and stuff.
Yeah, the infrastructure's there. You know, everyone has access to a smartphone right now. Internet access is relatively ubiquitous at this point. Maybe in rural areas, it might be a little harder. There are still a sizable part of the population that have landline internet service, that have dial up in this day and age, which is mind blowing. But a lot of those people, even if they do have landlines, they still have a smartphone with cell service that is probably pretty decent. I know my grandma and grandpa, they have a farm down in eastern Kentucky that they go to sometimes. And I mean, I've taught her how to use her cell phone to become a hotspot, and then she can play on her iPad and watch Perry Mason or something on their iPad while they're down at the farm using their cell phone. So the infrastructure for that kind of thing. I wonder if the last 4 years has made me only weary of digital democracy is of just seeing, I don't know if I've become even more of an elitist asshole than I was before, because looking at social media and just seeing who people are with the relative anonymity, even when it's their own name through social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, I don't know if I've ever been more misanthropic in my entire life. I don't know if I necessarily want, I'd almost prefer the synthetic technocracy at this point, in which we just make AI and just turn all the decisions over to them and they figure it all out. I don't know if I trust anyone living, any living, breathing human being to know what's the right thing to do. Is life easier that way when you just turn control of everything over to an ultra smart AI, even with the thought that we understand that it's going to be flawed because it's created by man, so it's going to have whatever flaws we have hidden it within it somewhere. Is it easier that way for us to just turn all of control, everything over to a machine to make decisions for us, and we just go along with it because actually determining the right thing to do is too hard for us to figure out?
Well, we saw what happened in the Terminator, though. Like, there was a flaw in Arnold. He did have feelings. You know, O'Connor was very dear to his heart, and he had heart even though it really wasn't there. So, but that's why it's a movie. If those computers were making decisions, I don't foresee there ever being a Terminator that had a heart. I think the machines would just take over and they would become self-aware and they would destroy our species. But I don't see one of the robots trying to save the day. I think we would potentially just fall to the whims of our own self-destruction by the machines that we would develop. I think we would start seeing a lot of starvation and stuff if machines completely automated everything. How far down the road do you think it's going to be where, like, driving, you're not allowed to drive yourself anymore? It's like you go to your car, you enter the destination, it just takes you there. But maybe there's going to be flaws in that system where, like, or there's going to be restrictions. You know, when we go into curfew, like we have been here in Louisville, maybe you'll go out to your car and you'll try to turn it on and they'll be like, sorry, it is after 9 p.m. You are not allowed to drive right now. Or like, you know, maybe it's going to be like, maybe there's going to be systems in the city to like fight traffic and be like, well, if you got to go to work, this amount of people go to work between 5 and 6. And then between 6 and 7, these people go to their cars. And how far down the road, once automized driving takes place, how many years? Is it 50 years? Is it 25 years? Until there's so many cars on the road and they're all working like in unison with each other, because like there's this huge, you know, kind of self-aware system of like where all cars are and where all people are. You know, they're only going to allow so many cars on the road at certain times. How far down the road is computerized driving?
On a widespread scale, probably 20 years. I mean, the self-driving cars are already out there. That's already a thing. This is still in the very early stages. I was reading an article a couple weeks ago about a guy up in Canada was given a ticket because he was sleeping while his car was driving him home. And if you have those kind of cars, you have to like still be like sitting there and like aware and everything. But a guy was trying to get by, just letting the car drive him home. Got a ticket for it. The self-driving car thing, that is a thing. You know, the question, the self-driving car, okay, if the car is presented with two options, it can either, you know, something bad's happening. It has control enough to either hit the group of people on the corner or take you into a light pole, potentially killing you. What does the car do? Does the car kill the pedestrians on the sidewalk? Or does the car kill you, the owner and driver, the driver in quotation marks of the car? What does the car do in that situation?
I think it will be programmed in some ways to handle that situation. They would probably kill you first. You know, Ford or Chevy is going to kill the driver before the pedestrians. Like, people die driving a car every day. But pedestrians, that's going to hit the news. That's going to look bad for Chevy. I think we will see a lot of that. I think you're going to see a lot of rogue drivers like me, like still driving. Like, I don't know, maybe I'll buy like an 88 Ford 250 or something and like fix it up. And while other automated nice Volvos are driving around, I'll just like fuck with them all the time. Like, you know, like speeding around, like doing loops around the cars and slamming on my brakes and shit. And just, I don't know. I might be against the whole automated driving. I like the freedom of driving my car. I like horsepower. I like being in control of my machines. And I hope instead of a Terminator direction, it's more like at the end of Alien when she's in that like big ass thing that has arms and she's fighting the alien with like the claws and stuff. Like, you know, just build some sweet ass tractors or some sweet ass cranes and stuff that are like, you know, or these robotic, you know, suits that I can wear, and I'd be down for that. But I want to have control, you know, like these jetpacks that are coming out. You know, give me a jetpack, but don't put a computer in the jetpack and tell me where I'm going to go. Like, you know, give me a button on my left and right side. I understand which engine's what. I'll be able to get a feel for that throttle. And let me put that jetpack to the test and see how good that engine's running on the back of my back. You know, I want to see how fast I can go. And don't fucking put this safety cutoff that's like, oh, you're going too fast. Parachute. Like, danger, Will Robinson type thing. Like, fuck that. Just let me go. Let me fucking go into oblivion with my jetpack.
There you have it, folks. Ed, against the self-driving car, but might be for the flying car. Potentially for the flying car. Although, I mean, come on. Do you know how complex the air traffic control system is in just for like a full-size plane and how bad traffic is?
I'm talking
on the road. Imagine people in flying cars. Imagine people in jetpacks just flying around.
I'm not even talking
how many
cars,
crashes jetpacks.
Everybody's individual jetpack driving. There's a lot of space in the sky though. Like,
well, the jetpack is like the motorcycle of flying cars. Yeah.
Would you even wear a helmet? I mean, I guess you could hit a bird or something, but I mean, you're not on the ground.
That's true. All right. Before we wrap this up, I got one final question for you, Ed. Who the hell is undecided in 2020? Who is the undecided voter that is in America and doesn't know who they're going to vote for? Who is that person?
I think those are the people that may not get out the vote. or will just get out the vote, just not because they care too much, just to be part of something. You know, a lot of people don't think the undecided voter really exists, but I think there is a ton of undecided voters because they just have other interests these days than the consequence of this election, and it will affect them. Ultimately, a lot of people say, like, well, the president doesn't have power to do too much, and that's bullshit. Like, the president really does direct a country in a certain direction, and the only way to change that is through voting. But you got people out there, and I don't blame them, when they look at politics, and it's almost the most American thing, is there's a lot of people with, like, the Tony Montana attitude for politics. You know what I mean? Like, if you were to sit across from Scarface and ask him what his thoughts on Donald Trump or his thoughts on Joe Biden, what do you think Tony Montana is going to say? I mean, a lot of people are all about their own power and are only concerned with the people that surrounds them. And a lot of people are only concerned about their direction in this world and really just don't give a fuck about the civic politics. I think that's, you know, close to not a majority of Americans, but a wide range of Americans just maybe don't have too many opinions on politics because their minds are so wrapped around their own capability to gain and strive for their quest for their own power.
It's well said, Ed. Very well said. You're speaking of freedom, a certain type of freedom. As we end our election coverage for 2020, and we obviously encourage everyone out there to go out and vote in whichever way you're comfortable with, whether it's getting up there on November 3rd, going through whatever local early voting procedures your local prefecture has initiated, or you go the mail-in way, it's all good and well, you know. It's your voice, it's your vote, use it, you know. Whoever you vote for, we just need to know this is how democracy should run. Everyone gets a say, and hey, get your say. Try and be free. I want to leave you with a little quote from one Frank Zappa. The illusion of freedom will continue as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. At the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they will just take down the scenery, they will pull back the curtains, they will move the tables and chairs out of the way, and you will see the brick wall at the back of the theater. This ends with me up against the wall, so be it. At least I had my say.
Nice. I love me some Zappa.
all that's sacred comes from you.
Public service announcement is brought to you by the Freemasons of South Central Louisville. November 3rd, 2020, the most important day of your life. On this day, you will take part in deciding the fate of the United States of America as we come to a turning point in world history. Laid before you is a fork in the road with two paths. If you look within, you know where these roads lead. You have seen premonitions of the future and flashes throughout your life, even if you weren't aware of what you were seeing. Two options, one choice. One choice will take you to sprawling megapolises. A hazy smog tinged purple by the flashing lights and LED panels, selling America with Asiatic scripts. The natural world is a faint memory, as the rivers and streams are now toxic. Middle America is a vast dust bowl, a barren desert from the coast of the People's Republic of Nevada to the coast of Confederated Appalachia. At street level, things are more or less the same, with twice the litter, as the landfills have long surpassed max capacity. From your single room apartment, you enjoy an evening on Facebook before calling it an early night before your customary 15-hour workday. The other choice will take you to the wasteland, where 20th century buildings sprawl, crumbling from neglect and inoccupancy. You, like the several other million survivors in the approximate geographical location of what used to be the United States of America, scrounge for food and struggle to avoid capture by raving bands of warlords out to enslave, rape, and kill any who refuse them. You hold on to life through sheer force of will, despite the nagging feeling that it's not really worth it any longer, while staring up at the night sky, sparkling from the billions of shards of satellite debris that long ago trapped us on the doomed planet. You hear whispers from the few friendly wanderers like yourself who say that somewhere, far away, a safe haven exists for those looking to rebuild and start anew, and you fall asleep wishing it were true. Those are your options, America. Make your voice heard and vote like your life depends on it.
With those classic chords, you know what that means, dear fans. Another episode of The Aftermath is in the can. We want to give a special thanks to our guest, Gleeful Wanderer Glenn Gill, Hoops legend Jeff Voorhees, the lovely and magnetic Mary Dackery, the ever knowledgeable Big Country, and our sports aficionado, Hangtime Eric. As we bundle up for autumn and watch wistfully as the leaves fall, stay safe as you celebrate Halloween and make sure you vote this year. I'm not sure if it's overstating it, but this might go down as the most important election of the 21st century. As we hurtle to that fateful decision, I'll leave you with the words of 19th century Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard. Don't you know that there comes a midnight hour when everyone has to remove his mask? Do you believe that life will always let itself be mocked? Do you think you can slip away a little before midnight in order to avoid this? Or are you not terrified by it? I've seen men in real life who so long deceived others that at last their true nature could not reveal itself. In every man, there is something which, to a certain degree, prevents him from becoming perfectly transparent to himself. And this may be the case, in so high a degree, he may be so inexplicably woven into relationships of life which extend far beyond himself that he almost cannot reveal himself. But he who cannot reveal himself cannot love, and he who cannot love is the most unhappy man of all. Well, we're only a few minutes from midnight, America. Masks off. Let's see who we really are. Ed, take us home.
Home is where the heart is, right? Don't matter if you got a cabin, an igloo, that mansion on the hill, or nothing at all. We are at home when we are at peace. And as our differences tear us apart as a suffering nation, as the poor starve and the world tightens going into the winter, will investors show record gains while industries remain downsized? Will the economy continue to float on the hopes of an innovative tomorrow? America doesn't feel like home for us all. So many feel unwelcome. Does every man battle nature? Or only the men who were born into it? Do you trust your instincts to survive? How immune are you to this plague, if at all? The illusion of safety has washed away in this pandemic. Good luck, y'all. Although I struggle like the many of us to unveil the intent that drives me, I will never shelter you, my fair listener, from the truths we present here at The Aftermath. You'll hear from me soon. Please stay alive and with us for at least one more show. Good night and goodbye.